Any area that you want to look at in terms of the number of detainees, close to 1,000, some reports indicating that it may be higher, of which 70 of them are women. There have been reports of up to 31 anti-regime protesters that have been killed. 22 of those activists are at risk. And along with that, should be mentioned that 7 of those anti-government protesters are now referred to a criminal court, which the death penalty is set for them. That also includes the prominent human rights activist, if you remember, Abdelhadi Al-Khawaja, who was arrested with 2 sons-in-law earlier this month as part of the government crackdown. In terms of the most recent development, we also have that Saudi-backed regime forces have brutally beaten an anti-government protester in the capital, Manama, in which the hospital officials there say the protester is clinically dead. Lots of movements regarding the Bahraini crackdown on medical personnel we have seen in terms of rights groups coming out condemning these types of action. We can refer to reports on Friday in terms of an international medical charity in which they have said that Bahrain has conducted a systematic campaign of attacks and arrests of medical professionals. But let's discuss this more with our guest for this segment. First, Saeed Al-Shahabi from the Bahrain Freedom Movement joins us from London. Saeed Al-Shahabi, there are a few developments I'd like to get your reaction to, but this there seems to be a momentum that's growing in terms of the condemnation coming from different organizations. We can get into some of the names. Medical Charity, one to have come out with an extensive report. We're also looking at Amnesty International. We're looking at a number of different rights organizations. But ultimately, do you think that these reports will lead to any type of results that perhaps Bahrain is going to refrain from exercising what they are doing backed by Saudi forces?
Thank you very much. I think the report on themselves will not dislodge the regime from the policies it is currently conducting. On their own, they are not going to dislodge them, because I think before they embarked on this massive crackdown, they had already anticipated that there would be a backlash from these international bodies, such as human rights bodies, professional bodies, trade union bodies. They anticipated that when they kill people, when they arrest trade unionists, there would be some international condemnation from these bodies. However, they had already taken the decision to go ahead with what they had planned, and they had anticipated this move. But the danger here is that once these reports accumulate, they will become a force for pressure on the Western regimes. So, for example, when the media took over and took when they took a strong position in the recent days about what has been happening in Bahrain, about the stopping of students from studying abroad, stopping their scholarship and so on. When in the last few days The Guardian, Independent and others took the issue seriously, it reflected strongly on the foreign secretary here, and who had to admit, to say something about the regime of Bahrain. And ultimately, when the Crown Prince was invited to attend the royal wedding after 3 days, there was so much pressure in the last 24 hours on the regime, on the British government, that they had to withdraw the invitation from the Crown Prince, and the Crown Prince is no longer coming to UK. So I think, but these reports on themselves are unlikely to push the ruling family into a backward seat, but they are likely to accumulate into international pressure on the regime.
Okay, let me introduce Mohsen Saleh, who's a professor at the Lebanese University from Beirut, joining us to get his reaction on what's has been cited to be very alarming, Mohsen Saleh, and this has been the referral of 7 anti-government protesters to a criminal court in which the death penalty is going to be perhaps exercised on them. Of course, we know that up to around 800 to 1,000, roughly, there are detained activists or anti-regime protesters in the jails in Bahrain. Tell us your reaction when you hear that they have been handed the sentence, of course, them being referred to a criminal court. And also, when we look at the international community, Mohsen Saleh, there's got to be a reaction when it comes to something like this. And what can we expect from them in terms of being more proactive condemning these acts?
Good afternoon. Well, I guess the Bahraini royal family has decided to kill the people, to commit all kinds of genocide, to demolish the mosques. More than 27 mosques have been demolished till now. And of course, you mentioned the detainees, and more than that, they really arrested some physicians, medical doctors, and students from their high schools, and also teachers from these high schools, because they witnessed all kinds of atrocities from the forces of the Gulf, or the Saudis especially, and the Bahrainis. And now we'll see an acceleration of the situation in Bahrain, and the royal family, as far as it is it's helped by the United States and the Western countries, I guess they are continuing, and the people, they have only one choice: to continue their march against this barbaric actions from this royal family. And now we have the to blame the Arab League, to blame the Islamic Conference, to blame also the of course the other peoples who have been experiencing the same situation. I guess the Egyptians have a great role to play, and also other places in Tunisia and in other places in the Arab world and the Islamic world. And now these people, the majority of the Bahrainis, are really exposed to all kinds of genocide. It's a new genocide. This royal family deal with these people who are marching for the for their freedom, for righteous things. And, of course, they have been treated mercilessly, in as if they are enemies of this royal family. Of course, they need only some reforms, and they started to shoot at them, demolish even this Pearl Square and all the places that people meet and collect in order to express their feelings, their agitation against all kinds of these barbaric behaviors. I guess these forces in Bahrain and in Saudi Arabia, they are living in the Middle Ages or even the Black Ages. They have no open mind to tolerate people experiencing their principal right of going to right. demonstrate and express their feeling about the situation, unjust situation in Bahrain. Right. They are asking for participating in a real life, ordinary life. And right. These actions from Bahrainis, and especially the United States and the European Union, are blacking and closing their eyes on all these atrocities. Probably they want to put an end for these revolutions, but I guess the Bahraini people are insisting on their freedom.
Right. Syed al-Shahabi, I'd like to continue with some of these reports and looking at one of them, which was pretty much extensive in terms of citing the different violations that are taking place. It did also, and this comes from the Physicians for Human Rights, it called on the Obama administration to lead an international effort to appoint a special rapporteur on violations of medical neutrality through the UN Human Rights Council. The UN has made statements through Navi Pillay, for example. There have been some UN officials that have come out condemning this. I mean, are they just doing this for face value, or do you think that there's enough momentum in order at least for these to be recorded, as you mentioned? And also at the same time, isn't Bahrain part of the UN Human Rights Council, in which they have to abide by the charter of the UN? So in turn, they are actually violating the UN Human Rights Charter with the acts that are being exercised there on Bahrainis?
Well, I think, first of all, as for the membership of Bahrain in the International United Nations Human Rights Council, that's true. But these international mechanisms are very slow. In order to achieve something, you have to wait and work and work and work. They don't come speedily. This is why the America, for example, and big powers, they can bypass these mechanisms and they by introducing the subjects to the United Nations Security Council. For example, now we have plenty of evidence to criminalize some senior members of the ruling family through the International Criminal Court. We can easily take them there. But because Bahrain has not ratified the ICC, it only signed it, the process of taking action needs some support from the big powers, from members of the Security Council. Now, the alternative is for these human rights bodies to introduce and put pressure on the on the UN Security Council to present these cases to the Security Council itself, either through one of the members, or I don't know what are the mechanisms there, but I think you can either have the country ratifying a specific treaty, or in which case it becomes binding to that country, or the other powers who are members of the United Nations Security Council could introduce a bill there, a law, and then if it is approved, then it becomes quicker and faster. It is like a shortcut. So what we need here is some support from the international community, especially among the members of the Security Council, whether the permanent or non-permanent members. Of course, it is very likely that if any resolution would come to the Council, that the United States or Britain would veto it. But even so...
Well, that's the part I don't understand, Syed al-Shaabi. I always was in question for me when there are grave breaches of what is the law. I mean, there have been the international law broken when you see violations of targeted kidnappings, beatings, threats of rape, killing by security officials. I mean, these are violations of human rights law in which the UN wants countries to abide by them. But when there are violations taking place, then there's this political... choosing in terms of the country that's committing the violations. Of course, we can mention other countries in recent history that violate human rights, but why is it that when the law gets broken, then it's not followed through by the UN? That's the part that I don't understand. I'm sure many people are wondering about that.
I think human rights as a tool is good for propaganda, not for action. I mean, so far, we haven't seen any leader being sanctioned for human rights abuses. Yes, you may be able to bring a lawsuit against a criminal, against a torturer in one of the European countries like Belgium or Spain, but at the end, the political will is not there. Now, what needs to be done is to have some lobbying among the members of the Security Council. This is one way of doing it, or having a lot of pressure on the United Nations Security Council. But we also have to remember that the UN Security Council membership is made up of countries, and these countries would tend to support each other, not to stand against each other, especially where there are mutual interests involved. So We are sure we will be able to bring a lawsuit against the criminals in the ICC. We have been informed by those who are working on the case that a file has already been opened and that five international lawyers are taking up the case. But that is a slow process, as I mentioned. That is right. for the long run. But at the moment, the regime can still continue to torture, to kill, to maim. It knows that it can do it simply because the United States are giving it the green light. As this is, I think, this is the most fundamental point, that America is supporting, and the Britain, of course, supporting the regime in what it is doing. Of course, sometimes it says public statements that may show otherwise, but in reality, the regime does not fear international sanctions because it is politically protected by these powers.
Okay. Mohsen Saleh, another point I'd like to discuss is the visit of the Saudi king, which is supposed to happen on Thursday. Tell us what you think about that. He's going to be accompanied by a high-ranking delegation, which includes the interior minister of Saudi Arabia and the foreign minister. Is this a sign that he may assess the situation there, that Saudi forces may leave, even though we have had statements coming from Saudi Arabia that, they're going to stay there until any external threats are actually cease? But your reaction to the news of Saudi King Abdullah visiting Bahrain?
Well, I don't know. I don't expect this visit to occur, but I think the Saudis are participating in all kinds of executing people and prosecuting them and preventing them from asking for their rights. And I guess the Saudis are keen in their animosity against the Bahrainis who are asking for these rights because they are afraid. They are afraid because they have no intention for doing anything good for the Saudis also. They now declare that they have election and they're preventing women from doing her right, and the corruption greases the wheels of the system in Saudi Arabia and in Bahrain. They have commonalities in this manner. So the Saudis, I don't think, will withdraw, but the Saudis and the Bahrainis security forces and these royal families, what so-called, are accumulating hatred for them from the Bahrainis and the Saudis. And the, you were talking about the role of the United Nations. The role of the United Nations is a servant for in the service of the United States. And the United States doesn't like to see any of these revolutions come through and fulfill its demands, especially in reforming these countries, because reformation may convert to be for the sake of the people, and they don't want to see that. The Saudis are probably more likely to commit more crimes against these people, these unarmed, disarmed people, and these innocent people in Bahrain and in Saudi Arabia. Who hear about the problems in Saudi Arabia, in the eastern part of Saudi Arabia? They are detaining many people in the eastern part, and they are preventing people from even doing their practicing their religious life, and also they detain students and people, lay off employees, and doing all these bad things. I guess these barbaric regimes cannot fulfill any kind of reforms for the interest of their people. There must be a kind of movement from the international community, of course.
Okay, well, what is that movement? We only have the UN. Yes. We're looking at countries who are denouncing it. We have had some indications from the United States condemning some of the violence, even though it's been very muted. We had actually the UK Foreign Secretary condemning some of the actions that has occurred in Bahrain, William Hague, and this came out after Bahrain did not plan not to attend the wedding. But that in itself is not going to be enough. There's got to be a stronger action exercise to stop what is going on. This, in terms of the ratio, and I'm sorry to jump in, Mohsen Saleh, but Said al-Shaabi, in terms of the numbers and the ratio, is the biggest revolution in the Arab world. So there's got to be the same amount of attention given to it. What road can be taken? What should be done, aside from the media coverage, aside from these rights groups, in order to stop what is going on and open up any form of dialogue, perhaps, that at this point seems non-existent with the opposition?
I think the most important thing is not to rush things. If we rush to ask the regime for dialogue, then it will be interpreted as a sign of weakness. The regime has already inflicted the maximum damage it could possibly do. Now, if the Shia of Bahrain had, say 6 degrees, it has now been reduced to 2 degrees. Now, if we negotiate with it now, we may improve it from 2 to 3. So we will still end up much less than we were at in the first place. So I think we are not asking for gracious acts from the regime. We are not asking it to improve our situation. We are asking it to go. I mean, the regime must go, must not stay there. It is no longer wanted. And this is not only my view, but this is the view if you go and see the blogs, the internet sites, the morale and the psychology of the people. Everybody is saying the same. And this is why I think the Saudi king is going to Bahrain, because I think they are worried. They are worried. He is there for three things, I think. First of all, he wants to give moral and psychological support to the Al-Khalifa, because the Al-Khalifa feel weak, especially now that international action seems to be working a little bit, the most important of which is the prevention of the Crown Prince from attending the royal wedding in London. Secondly, it wants, or he wants to review the security situation with the regime. Almost 2 months now, mm-hmm. 1.5 months since the occupation by Saudi forces, and the situation has not come to normality. Even the Crown Prince in his letter yesterday said, I had left my decision whether to attend or not until the last moment, hoping that the situation would change. And I think his conclusion was that the situation has not improved.
Okay, Said Al-Shaabi, I'm sorry to jump in. Unfortunately, we have ran out of time for this coverage of the Bahraini Revolution. Thank you so much for your comments. Also, Mohsen Salah, we would like to thank you for your comments. As usual, a pleasure to have you.